there's something that you buy in bulk that you buy a lot of, is there a way to get any sort of deviated price, A, off invoice, B, with a bill back or a rebate type situation, or C, maybe there's a private label or a similar brand with the identical ingredients, an identical quality product that you are not asking about. Maybe that exists. Welcome back to the Food Service Distribution Podcast. And as always, I am your host, David Layton. Today, I recorded an episode called 7 Ways to Leverage Your Distributor Relationship. This was recorded for restaurant owners and operators who are very good at operating their own business, but may not be asking their distributor the right questions to make sure that they are sourcing the right product, getting the best price, getting the best resources, taking advantage of things that distributors do for some of your competitors. So the first minute or so, I start off pretty slow, but you're going to want to listen to this whole thing through because I share 6 or 7 tips that you may not have heard anywhere else and questions to ask your distributor that will, in the long run, save you a ton of money. So enjoy. Remember to like and share this and subscribe and do all of that if you find this content useful. Enjoy. Know your numbers. Sounds very basic, right? Know your numbers. But you would be surprised how many restaurant operators that I've worked with over the past 10 years that understood what their profit margins were, their menu pricing, and that's it. And there are so many other components to understanding your numbers. You really have to have a full 360-degree view of your business in order to not only just understand your business and how where your profit comes from, but to ensure that your distributors are and your competitors, that anybody is going to be taking you seriously and understanding that you mean business. So you want to plant that seed early. You want to know what your food cost is. You want to know if you are above 7% of your total sales in rent, right? If your rent is above 7% of total sales, that's not good. You want to make sure that you are able to communicate properly those numbers to your distributor, your sales rep, or the company that you're working with who's delivering you food, in order for them to say, hey, this guy really knows what he's talking, or gal knows what they're talking about, and they are going to be a lot harder to make extra margin or extra profit off of. There are several different types of distributors. Unfortunately, the one that I am currently working for, we have fixed pricing and we negotiate contract prices. But most broadline distributors, some that I've worked for in the past, have rep-controlled pricing. So if you don't know your numbers, you might end up with a sales rep who could see that as an opportunity to make more in that account. So that's tip number one, very basic, but you'd be surprised how many people do not understand that side of their business. One thing that's very important to note here is that me as a distributor, when I go in and I talk to a group of chain restaurants or a single restaurant, the questions that I'm going to ask, the things that I want to know, is how many deliveries per week are we, how many times are we going to stop the truck to deliver this restaurant? Okay. Second thing is how many cases are going to be delivered every time we stop that truck? So how many cases per drop? The third thing is what is the total invoice, the total amount, what is the total dollar amount that an invoice adds up to? So every time I stop the truck, is it going to be for $1,500 worth of sales? Is it going to be for $2,500? Is it for $500? And the last thing is what is the average case cost? So if you order 50 items, if you get 50 items dropped off every time I stop my truck, is the average case cost going to be $30? Is it $40? Is it $45? And those numbers are going to help me decide how many times we should stop the truck at that restaurant, and how profitable the account is going to be. So any distributor that you work with, currently is going to have those numbers. So if you're in the market for a new distributor, if you're shopping around, you should be able to pull that data very easily, or your salesperson, account manager, customer service should be able to pull those numbers very easily. And those will help you get an all-encompassing picture of your business and just how profitable you are. So second tip is predictability. You want to be predictable in the sense of those last metrics that we went over: how many deliveries per week, how many cases are going to be on that delivery, what is the average invoice amount. You do not want to skip deliveries. You don't want to order sometimes from one distributor, sometimes from another, and shop around too much. I understand that you're going to want to check the market and make sure that you're paying fair market price for products. But if you are not predictable, that means that, say, 100% of your business is at distributor A, and you are going to order tomatoes from that person or that company every week, and you have 15 cases of tomatoes standing. And next week, a competitor comes in and says, I have tomatoes for $5 a case less than what you're usually paying. And you say, all right, I'll get tomatoes from you this week, and I'll go back to distributor A next week. Once you go away from distributor A and go with a different product, whether it's for brand purposes or price purposes, or just because you wanted to give another distributor a chance, distributor A is going to, in the purchasing department, is going to adjust their forecasting for the following week or for 2 weeks out. So if you decide to go back to distributor A, they might not have enough product to fill your order or fill somebody else's order. If you look at the fundamentals of supply and demand, if distributor A is now ordering less and all of a sudden more restaurants come back to them, that's going to crunch, that's going to increase the demand. The supply is smaller, so the distributor might even make the choice to increase the price of tomatoes. Now, it usually doesn't happen in a week like that, in a swing, but you get what the point here is: to be consistent, and you are going to have a better chance of having your orders filled week after week. So that's number two. One, know your numbers. Two, predictability. Three, with your distributor or prospect distributors, talk to your growth. So if your sales are increasing 5% year over year, make sure that any prospect distributors, if you're in the market or your current distributor knows that you're talking to your sales rep, that you're talking to your account manager, letting them know that your sales are growing and the expectation is next year we're growing 12% year over year. So that means your cases and your sales, those should in turn increase 12% also. So once you get to a certain level, a lot of distributors have thresholds where if you pass X amount of dollars per delivery or X amount of dollar amount total sales, total sales to the distributor annually, you might get bumped into a different pricing class and you might get a different type of treatment from a resource standpoint. So that leads me to my next point is the resources. If you are examining your business, examining your restaurant or your program, and you are thinking that there's a lot of work you need to do through menu analysis, through making sure that you are paying the right amount, to charging your end user or your customer the right amount, that is a lot of extra administrative work that you should do, you should know in order to really understand your business and, like I said, know your numbers. But you might be able to tap into those resources at your current distributor or a prospect distributor. So there are people, there are different segments of distribution houses that would be dedicated entirely to business reviews, where they could come out and see, make sure that in your market you are, or in your region, you are charging the right amount for this product, for this dish. A lot of companies actually help the restaurants look at the menu analysis and say, you know, you are getting 60% of your business is coming from these three items, and they're priced 20 to 25% below market, below what other restaurants in the area that we've worked with are charging for this, and you could probably bump that up, increasing your overall sales by 4% or whatever the numbers would be. But we have me, my past distributors, I think all major broadliner and smaller broadline regional distributors have those types of resources. If your sales rep is not doing it, ask them if there's something, somebody, if there's some help that you can get from them, and chances are they will be able to help you if they don't already have a person or an entire department dedicated to that type of focus on customers, focus on the customers they already have. So a lot of people will do that with prospect customers, but most distributors actually do that with current customers. Other areas of resources might be branding and help with logos, menu design. So again, speaking from experience, currently and in my past life, I've had a department that focuses on our own branding and marketing, and we like to give those resources, those people, are the people that are on our payroll, to our customers. And if they need a menu developed, a logo made, logos printed, updates to older designs, we absolutely love doing that. And again, most distributors have a team internally that work on those types of things. So make sure that you're asking about those resources. Also, if you're big enough, something that we like to do for our largest chain customers is give a full internal program audit. So that would be from a procurement pricing standpoint. We're going to make sure that we're auditing on a annual or biannual basis all of the invoices coming in, the purchase orders that we are sourcing from manufacturers and vendors, making sure that there aren't two vendors with the same item and one has a better cost than the other. Consolidating vendors and SKUs wherever we can, and finding those types of savings opportunities in a annual or every 6 months or whatever the timeline might be type audit. So usually if you're a single restaurant or you own a couple of restaurants, a full audit that requires somebody from accounting and someone from the purchasing department, usually multiple people reviewing hundreds, if not thousands, of invoices. Usually that's not possible unless you are doing a significant amount of business, but it never hurts to ask. So ask about those things. So again, that was menu analysis, help with menu creation and branding, business reviews, and full program audits. So I think that was number four. So number five is a question that you're going to want to ask. And that is, I should say, this is probably geared towards a restaurant who is looking for a new distributor. If that's you, and if you're shopping around, you're going to want to ask the prospect distributor if they could give you a reference of another customer who would be considered your competitor. The reason for doing this is every distributor has key customers or has customer groups that they use as a go-to, as a reference. So if they're prospecting an account, they will say, here is the owner of such and such restaurant or restaurant group, and they are going to vouch for us as a distributor, what a great job that we do for them, how much money we've saved them, how our fill rate has been 99.9%, and so on. But you want to ask for a direct competitor to yourself in order to get an idea of how well they service that segment. So if you're a pizza restaurant and your distributor or prospect distributor is giving you an example of a burger joint, who has had all of these excellent fill rates and all of this excellent growth that they can attribute to the relationship with the distributor, that doesn't really tell you how well they source fresh produce and canned tomato products, higher end tomato products. You know, you're not looking for cheap, inexpensive bulk buys on things that you are not going to put on your pizza. So maybe the distributor is really good at one segment and not yours. And you want to ask those questions. So that's a good question to ask. Even if you aren't planning on switching distributors, you could just ask your salesperson or sales manager if they can give you a reference to somebody else who is your direct competitor to see what they are doing, what they're doing that you're not. So never be afraid to ask questions. That's a main takeaway from all of this. Should be never be afraid to ask your distributor questions. Number six, think about the partnership. So a lot of restaurants and customers will look at a distributor and ask the question, what can you do for me? Can you make this delivery appointment? What price can you get me that this other distributor cannot? And they always forget that distributors do have control over pricing to some extent, and they tend to take care of the customers that are going to help them. So let me explain that. Instead of asking, what can my distributor do for me? Ask the question, what can I do for my distributor that might get me deviated pricing? So an example of that would be most distributors like to do overnight drops when no one's around so that they can make a delivery quickly in and out, and it will not conflict with other deliveries for customer groups that need a certain type or a certain time of deliveries. So an example would be if everybody wants that 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. window or 6 a.m. window so that they can prep product in the morning before breakfast, nobody wants the afternoon. Nobody wants the past 11 o'clock, 11 to 2 p.m. Delivery window because it's not convenient for the restaurant, of course. So knowing this, knowing that that's a difficult time, don't be afraid to ask your salesperson or the distributor if you could get any sort of terms, any sort of allowance, any sort of pricing deviation or benefit if you were to take the lunch delivery window or take the whatever time is the most convenient to the distributor. Now, that's not always going to work, but it's something to think about and definitely a question to ask if you have, say, a walk-in or a dry storage or cooler area that is not directly in the way of where food is being cooked and where chefs and workers are going to be going back and forth in front of. So say you have a dry storage area that is in a shed connected to the building, but you can access it from the outside. That would be an ideal candidate for a lunchtime drop, because if you're not going to even see the distributor or the driver, the delivery driver, what does it matter? And you might be able to negotiate something on the back end to take that drop. Something to think about. Number seven, the last thing, and this is just a general statement that a lot of restaurants do not think about. Price is negotiable. Price is always negotiable. And whether that is switching from one brand to another or just asking to get a better price on something, you always have the opportunity to ask for a better price or if there's something that your salesperson can do. Now, there are a lot of distributors, the one that I work for now included, that have published book pricing on most of the items. So there are certain things that you will not be able to get a deviated invoice price, but there are ways to get billbacks or rebates from the vendor or the manufacturer. There are ways to buy products direct if you are buying enough of them. So there's always something that, almost always something that your distributor can do to get you a better price on a product or on a type of product or a category. Now, a lot of distributors have rep-controlled pricing, which means they are, your salesperson is accountable to write a certain percent of margin to their territory as a whole, and they have some control over what price they are going to sell you things like commodity items, chicken, produce, proteins, and there usually is some give there. Now, I don't want to say the wrong thing here and freak anybody out in the restaurant world, but if you are asking for deviated pricing on one category, make sure that you're watching that another category doesn't increase in price. That would only apply to some of the major broadliners, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble here. If someone listens to this and then goes and tells their sales rep, "I know how things work, and I know that you can lower your pricing," that's not always the case. But a lot of big broadliners, they can decrease one segment, increase another segment, and it washes out. So I would more gear towards asking the question of, if there's something that you buy in bulk, that you buy a lot of, is there a way to get any sort of deviated price, A, off invoice, B, with a bill back or a rebate type situation, or C, maybe there's a private label or a similar brand with the identical ingredients and identical quality product that you are not asking about. Maybe that exists. I know that normally exists with all canned products. I mean, paper goods, that's one that a napkin is a napkin. I know I might get yelled at for saying that because people are very particular about their paper products, but especially in this day and age and climate where there are tariffs over imported product, shortages on certain plastics, and everybody's trying to go compostable and trying to move to, and depending on what region you're in, that statement is accurate, but trying to move to consolidate to one type of product where the supply is not increasing at the rate that demand is, you need to have a certain level of leniency when you are looking for when you're looking for a product in any category. So I'm going to stop right there. Those are my tips. Those are my 7 tips and questions that you should be asking to your distributor. If there are any questions, feel free to reach out. I just created a Twitter today, actually. It is, what did I end up getting? @foodservicepod. I think that's what it is. Yeah, @foodservicepod, the Food Service Distribution Podcast. And I'm on Twitter as well, @DMLayt, DMLAYT. Feel free to reach out, give me a follow, give me feedback. I'm on Anchor, I'm on Spotify, I'm on Breaker. I'm actually using Anchor to record this right now. This is not an ad. I think I do have an ad for Anchor in here, just because they're hosting and distributing my podcast for free. But it is pretty cool. It's been great. This is only the 3rd episode I've recorded. And I'm really starting to like this idea. I think that I could reach the right group of people. I don't want to isolate anyone here, or exclude anyone, but the market that I'm going for are people like me. I created this podcast because I always wanted insights from the distribution industry, food service specifically, that I could listen, throw my headphones in and just listen to somebody talk about food service and talk about these ideas that I've been talking to the guys that I work with out when I was doing territory sales and national accounts and all of these different things, these topics that we're talking about. I wish that there was a podcast that could have increased my knowledge, sharpened that learning curve, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put food service education into the hands of anyone with a phone. And my goal is to teach future professionals of the food service distribution industry the things that you need to think about and what you should be learning, while also giving insights to restaurant owners and managers and anybody who is in this industry, the food service industry, to understand where a distributor is coming from and certain things that they can do to take advantage. Again, the reason for this episode, take advantage of and leverage your relationship with your distributor. We do so much more than just sell product and stop a truck, and it will benefit you tremendously if you learn about all of those things we do. And just keep in mind, we meaning distributors, our sole purpose and the way that we grow is to help you grow in any way possible. So when we are not just selling product, we are selling a service and a partnership, a relationship, transparency. The things that we can bring to the table are going to solidify the relationship. And take product and price completely aside, if I can provide more value in any way by making a suggestion on how to on a certain POS system, or on how to do something on the outside of hang a sign on the outside of the restaurant. I don't know, just thinking of examples of things that I've personally done for restaurants, hanging televisions and doing those things that you would see a distributor is normally not doing. That goes so much further than just finding a deviated price or being on time or having a high fill rate. So from the restaurant's perspective, understand that distributors are wanting you to be successful. That's the only way that we grow. And for anybody coming up in the food service distribution industry, understand that you are going to bring so much more value and a long, lifelong relationship and even friendship in a lot of cases to the table by taking care of all of a customer's needs and not just punching an order or selling a box of tomatoes. That's it. I went on a little longer than I thought, but have a fantastic rest of your week. I don't even think I said it is March 2nd, 2020, and the price of Bitcoin. No, I'm just kidding. I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts lately. All right, everyone have a great day and tune in next time. Please like, review, share, do whatever you need to help me out here. I am going to keep doing this if it continues to bring value. If not, I'll probably keep doing this. I want to learn as much as I can about this industry with you. So let's keep going. All right. Thanks, everyone.